And let's also remember everyone that's traveling. We got a lot of folks from our church family traveling, some long distance. We're going to start our trip late tonight, or actually early in the morning. So keep us in your prayers. We're going to head down to Florida, and we should be back, Lord willing, on Saturday. And I was very happy to see that all the roses were gone. Everyone took all those roses we had left over from the wedding, and there's still a bucket at the house I forgot. So, and it's probably got 15 or 20 in there, and some of that baby's breath, the little tiny flower things. So if you still want some flowers after services, come over and see me, walk over there, and get those. I already saw a great picture of someone making a bouquet, and heard about some of the brethren here bringing it to shut in. And so anyways, it makes us feel better that all of those flowers are being put to use. And if you weren't here this morning, we brought over a bunch of wedding flowers. That's what I'm talking about. We had them out there. So now, since our internet is still down, I just want to say this real quick. If you want to follow along with the lesson, if you go to our Facebook group, if you're on the Facebook group, and then you scroll down just a little bit, you'll see our lesson on there, and you can click through. What normally would be up here is going to be on Facebook. And it looks like it's a newspaper, and it says First Called Christians. So feel free to do that and to kind of keep up with the lesson here. And I'm going to kind of click through with it on my phone, because as busy as I've been, I haven't had as much time as I would like to go through this lesson that I created several weeks ago, and I haven't really had a chance since I've been so busy. So this is going to be my way of reminder myself. So if you see me up here, I'm not checking Twitter or anything like that. I'm going through my lesson. All right, we're going to go through our, still going through our sermon series, Book of Acts. We're in chapter 11. And as you open your Bible, I want to ask you to think about something. You know, sometimes when it's the first of whatever it is, it makes it really special, right? Maybe that first time your daughter gets married, or maybe when they're little, first time they say mama or dada, or if they're grandchildren, you know, meemaw, papa, papa, whatever they call you. You know, it's special when it's the first time, right? So think about that. Think about, you know, how special it is to be called something like that. You know, now I want you to think about names. You know, names identify, right? They identify a person. It tells you something about them. You know, if you picture someone that's special to you, right, and you picture their name, it kind of, you know, have that vision of them in your mind, and that name just kind of encompasses everything that they are. Right? If someone was to ask you to close your eyes and, you know, I said a person's name that was special to you, and you could really see them when you say their name. Now, if I had you close your eyes and ask you, you know, what does a Christian look like? Most of us, an image of somebody we know that's a faithful Christian, that image will come to our mind, their name, right? Now, if you've never met a Christian, it would be hard, wouldn't it? And, you know, if you have met a Christian, it'd be easy, right? So here in Acts chapter 11, I want you to see this here, going through this sermon series, part of our scripture reading earlier. And the Bible tells us that a Christian is one that belongs to Christ. And the term Christian is actually only used three times in your New Testament. Just three times, one of them right here, other two times here in the book of Acts. And so the Bible tells us that a Christian is one that belongs to Christ. A disciple is one that follows the teacher. A servant is one that serves a master. So, before we look at our main points here and read our main text here. Let's personalize this. You know, does that describe you? Right? Do you belong to, do you follow Christ Jesus? Do you learn from him? Look again here in Acts chapter 11. And I want you to think about verse 26 specifically. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. So it was that for a whole year they assembled with the church and taught a great many of people, and the disciples were first called Christians at Antioch. You see, there's a difference in being called a Christian and actually being a Christian. Right? I'm not telling you something you probably don't already know. Right? So is the name Christian to you a title, or is it a descriptive term? And now, what do I mean by that? Maybe here's another way to think about this. That sign that we have out front there, Church of Christ at Fairview, that's not a title. That's a descriptive term of the people that meet in this building. Right? And I like to say, if this building burnt down, we had to meet out there in the parking lot in folding chairs, that would still be the Church of Christ at Fairview. Right? The church has nothing to do with this building. This is not a sanctuary. These walls aren't holy. We just have a great blessing to be able to meet in a comfortable building. Right? The church is not the building. The church is us. All right, so I want you to think about that. You know, we're not, and this is my pet peeve here, we're not Church of Christers. I know you've heard that before. He or she's Church of Christ. Okay? Yes, I get what you're saying, but in reality, the biblical phrase is, someone that belongs to Christ is a Christian, a servant, a disciple, right? You know, we're not just one of many different denominations. We're the Lord's church. Okay, so think about that. When you think about the name Christian, do you wear it as a title, or is it a description of who you are, of what you are? Right, we don't just wear the name as a title, that's not proper. And so this word here identifies those who've obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, those who gather in his name, and that's the name that they wear. So, you know, if you want to know who a child of God is, you know, look for those identifying marks, those characteristics. We've talked about them the last two Sunday mornings, right? It's someone that forgives. And somebody that loves, like Jesus. And those things separate us from those who are not his children. So I want to think about three terms in the time that we have here this evening. We're going to talk about the term disciple, then the term servant, and then finally that term Christian. And see what we can learn in this. And so here the first term I want us to think about, the Bible calls a disciple. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. If you have your Bible open there to Acts chapter 11, verse 26. This doesn't mean that they were the first Christians, by the way, but they were the first disciples to be called Christians, or called first Christians here at this location. So what we need to determine here, looking at the text, think about this. We need to determine who were the first disciples. Well, good thing we're doing a sermon series through Acts. We've already looked at that. Go back to Acts chapter 1, right? I believe that the apostles, the 120 mentioned there in Acts chapter 1, first disciples, therefore first Christians. They had been followers of Christ, continued to believe following his resurrection and his ascension, right? Now, immediately prior to his ascension, you don't have to turn there, Jesus said in Matthew 28, 19 and 20, go and make disciples of all the nations, right? How was this going to be accomplished? Well, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things, right? Whatsoever Jesus commanded them to do. And so back here in Acts chapter 2, Peter preaches the first gospel sermon in the name of the resurrected Lord. We talked about this. And, of course, in response to this teaching, at least 3,000 that day in verse 37, they're cut to the heart, men and brethren, what shall we do? You know, and Peter commanded them, of course, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. There in verses 36 and 37. Those in verse 41 who gladly received his word, were baptized. They were added to the Lord's church, right? Verse 41 there. And consider that phrase for a moment, added to them or added unto them. Think about that. Added to whom? To what? Well, great question. Look at verse 47. It says, the Lord added to the church daily those who are being saved. All right, so being a disciple begins with attaching yourself to Christ in the manner that Christ tells you to be attached to him. Right? You don't get to determine how you attach yourself to Christ. He's already determined that. You know, none of the other descriptions matter, you know, if you do not attach yourself to Christ. Now, before the word Christian was used, the ministry of Jesus, another word was used right here, and it's disciple. And a disciple is one that follows the teachings and the commands of his master. You know, a disciple describes an individual who lives a life of sacrifice and submission and obedience. Over in Luke, the 14th chapter, if you would, turn back there with me. Luke chapter 14, I want you to read with me. Let's read, begin in verse 25. Luke chapter 14, verses 25 through 33. Now a great multitude were with him, and he turned and said to them, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? Lest after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, going to make war against another king, does not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is still a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks for conditions of peace. So likewise, verse 33, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. The most frequently word in your New Testament used to describe a follower of Jesus is a disciple. During his earthly ministry, here he's asking in person, are you willing to forsake all, everything, for his name's sake? Now, if that describes you and your willingness to do that, then you don't wear the name Christian as merely a title. It's a description of who you are. You know, a disciple is a person who engaged actively in learning from the master and the teacher. Used to describe an individual with intense loyalty and followed that leader exclusively. You can see it in Joshua as a disciple of Moses, or Elisha as a disciple of Elijah. You know, the 12 disciples of Jesus. But here in Luke, this passage here, Jesus elevates what it means to be a disciple. Right? And the word translated here, as a matter of fact, I found it over 250 times. 250 times, 33 times in the book of Acts, by the way. And it's almost always used exclusively as a descriptive term for someone that follows Jesus. A disciple of Jesus Christ is one that just doesn't wear the name as a title, but it's a description of who they are, their lifestyle. So how do you know if you're a disciple of Jesus? Well, just some of the things we've read already. You know, if you take God's blessings as a trust, you take on adversities as an opportunity. Right? If that's your description, then you're not just wearing the name disciple or Christian as a title. It's a description of who you are. You know, you walk in the sure light of God's word. You remember your worth that Jesus puts into you, your value. That's your description. That's who you are. All right, number two this evening, let's talk about the word servant here. The idea of a disciple brings up this other term here, and that's servant. And for this, I want you to go back to John, the 12th chapter. Now, this word used to describe a follower of Jesus, a servant, I counted 199 times. One of the places, right here in John chapter 12, that I found this word used. John chapter 12, let's read verses 23 through 26. But Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Most assuredly I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone, but if it dies, it produces much grain. He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternity. If anyone serves me, let him follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor." Now, we're all probably familiar with the Greek term diakonos, the word we get for deacon, right? We got deacons in the church. But there's another word that's translated servant in your New Testament, and that's doulos. Well, that's what we're reading here. Actually, jump over to chapter 13 and verse 12 here in John. Right, he gives this example. He's washing their feet for them. You know, verse 15, he says, "I have given you an example, what you should do." Verse 16, "Most assuredly I say to you, a servant," that's doulos, "is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who has sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." Right, So you have the word doulos there, and it carries the idea of slavery more than just being a servant. Right? And you know, in the Greeks back then, they had a strong sense of freedom like we do as Americans, right? And so the idea here of making yourself a servant, that's tough. You know, that's a little bit hard to comprehend. You know, that Paul begins several of his letters, you know, Paul a bondservant, or Paul a servant of Christ Jesus. You know, when young Mary is told by an angel there in Luke chapter 1 that she will be with child through the Holy Spirit, how does she respond? Well, she responds saying, "I'm a slave of the Lord, I'm a doulos of the Lord," and she gave herself completely over to the Lord. You know, "Your will be done, not mine. I'll do whatever you want me to do." That's the idea of this word, a doulos, a slave. You know, having that attitude, that mind of a slave of God, right? Being his servant, doing what he wills, not what Sean wills, not what I want, but what he wills. That's the word we're talking about here. That's a descriptive term of a follower of Christ. And it sets us apart from those that just merely wear that term as a title, right? Whether it's Christian or servant, right, or disciple, but rather it's a description of who we are in Christ. It's a lifestyle. Right? We have a race to run, a crown to win. You know, when we're immersed into Christ, we're immersed into a new life, into a new relationship. Behold, new things have begun. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Right, we're baptized into that new existence of priceless opportunities. That's what your Bible teaches you. Right, glorious responsibilities. These responsibilities are lives of servitude. That's what we signed up for. That's what it's all about. Our understanding of these fundamental principles will determine how we live out our faith. It'll determine whether we wear these names as titles or rather if it's a description of who we are. You see, a lot of people begin their journey of faith and they don't endure. And one of the reasons I believe that they don't endure, they don't understand these terms. They don't understand that there's responsibilities in what we are claiming to be. They don't endure because they wear the name Christian as a title and they don't allow it to be a description of who they are. Right? Victorious Christian living, many-sided effort, and we got to continuously humble ourselves into the service of our Lord. And so finally here we have the name Christian itself, our third and final point. And go back here to the book of Acts. Now the first time we see it, of course, we read it, Acts chapter 11, verse 26. And we're going to mention Acts chapter 26 in a moment. But the other place is 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 16, by the way. If anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed. Those are the only three places that that word Christian is used in your New Testament. All right, it's a good term. It's not a bad term. But also understand that disciple and servant, you're going to read about a whole lot more. Hundreds of times more so than Christian. And what are we more comfortable with being called? Christian, right? We're more comfortable with that. You know, I think sometimes maybe just in our culture, it's not so much of as a in-your-face term. Like, hey, I'm a slave of Jesus Christ. I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ. That's a little more, you know, hey, a little too religious for me. You know, we want to kind of keep arm's length from those kind of people, right? But understand biblically that that's the phrase used a whole lot more than Christian. But again, Christian's not a bad term. It's a right term. It's biblical. So I just wanted to get us to think about that. So, three times here in the New Testament, it was a title description given to them by Gentiles of that area. And at a basic level, it means a follower of Christ, of course, which in itself is very interesting that they didn't call them Jesusians. Right, but rather Christians, Christians. And so these Gentiles here wanted to distinguish the Jewish followers from the other Jews and took the idea of Messiah, Christ, the Anointed One, and turned it into a description of these people here. Actually, jump over to Acts chapter 26. Let's do this. Paul here, he's given his defense before Agrippa. Right, he tells Agrippa his conversion story, beginning in verse 12, all the way to about verse 23. And he told him how he used to persecute Christians, persecute people who follow the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Right, but the Lord appeared to him a great light that rode to Damascus, commissioned him to preach about forgiveness of sins to the Gentiles. Right? And Paul spoke about this. Festus interrupts him and said he's crazy, verse 24. Do you see it there? But Paul turned to Agrippa and said boldly, I know that you believe. Right? I know that you believe. I know that you're getting this. What's the king's response there? You know, in a short time, you would persuade me to become a Christian, verse 28. There's our word. He almost persuaded me to become a Christian. Almost. Once again, it's given by someone who's not a disciple of Christ to describe a disciple of Christ. It's a word that promotes lordship over oneself. A Christian is one who's made Jesus both Lord and Master of his life, right? King of his life. And so a Christian follows the Anointed One of God as to claim his name for himself. And so here's our conclusion. I want you to think about this. You know, so what does a Christian look like? You know, when the world looks at us, what do they see? How do they describe us? You want a challenge? You know, ask a non-Christian acquaintance, right? Ask, because we all know people that aren't Christians. Ask them, say, could you close your eyes? I want you to picture a Christian. You're telling them this, right? And then ask them, who do they picture? Who do they envision? Is it you? Right? That's a challenge, isn't it? Why shouldn't they picture you? You know, are we known well enough for the people around us by reputation as a Christian, as a disciple of Christ, as a servant of the Most High God? Right? Is it your character, your focus to press towards our goal, our heavenly home, as we read about in Philippians? Is that our description? You know, if your hope is built on things eternal, then you wear the name Christian as you should. It's not a title. It describes who you are. It describes your belief system. Right? It shows the world that you're not afraid to proclaim Christ in your life. Back here in Acts chapter 11, we read that the disciples in Antioch, they're preaching the Lord Jesus to people. A great number of people believed. We know that Barnabas brought Saul from Tarsus. Together they worked in Antioch for a year. We know that the people of that area saw them as followers of Christ. It may not have been a term or a description of love at first. As a matter of fact, it was probably a derogative term at first. But as Christians, you know, we took hold of that term there when we owned it. We hold it in great honor to this day. Right? The best way to describe a Christian is simply to describe Jesus. Right? And when you do, you'll see what you and I are to be all the time. Right? Not just on Sunday, not just within these walls, but each and every day out there. It's easy to be a Christian in here. And what about tomorrow? Right, that's a great challenge for us this week here. One more passage here, and the lesson is yours. You know, are you described by the people around you in the community as a person who preaches, teaches in the good name of Jesus and salvation, salvation from sin? In Matthew 25, beginning verse 31, let me read this to you, and the lesson is yours. And think about this. Is this a description of you? When the Son of Man comes in His glory, and by all the holy angels with Him, then He will sit on the throne of His glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats, and He will set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on His left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, "Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me." And then the righteous will answer him, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and gave you drink? When do we see you as stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when do we see you sick or in prison and come to you?" And the king will answer and say to them, "Assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these my brethren, you did it to me." And are you a person that feeds the hungry and gives drinks to the thirsty, welcomes the stranger, clothes the naked, visits those who are sick or in prison? You know, is that a description of you? Is that a description of this congregation? Right? Are you a disciple of Christ? Are you a servant of Jesus? Are you a Christian? Right? Does Christian describe your life of faith? The big question is, if not, why not? If not, why not change that today? If you're not a Christian, why not become a Christian today? You already heard what it was there in Acts chapter 2. You need to be immersed into Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. As you believe in Jesus, you're willing to repent of your sins and confess Him before men. And you reenact His death, burial, resurrection, and water. If you haven't done that, tonight's the night. If you've done that, for some reason along the way you lost your way, just come back home. Well, live as a servant, as a disciple, as a Christ follower. If you have a need this evening, please don't hesitate. Let somebody know as we stand and as we sing.